This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning. This is the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee meeting. We have one item on the agenda today in addition to reviewing and approving the minutes from our last meeting. Why don't we go ahead and take roll call. Stephen, do you have a list and do you mind taking the call, Stephen Chang?
Not at all. Give me a second here. We'll start with the judges. Judge Harmon?
Present.
Judge Johnson?
Present.
Judge Lee? Judge Margonda?
Present.
Judge Lau?
Present.
Judge Smith? Judge Smith? Sherry Carter?
Here.
Rebecca Fleming?
Here.
Jose Guillen?
Here.
Sean Landry?
Here.
Stephen Nash?
Here.
Kim Turner?
Here.
David Yamasaki?
Present.
Judge Lau, I think we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you, Stephen. It's my understanding that there were no written public comments submitted for today's meeting. Given that it is a telephone-only meeting, there are no public comments, save and except anything that might be submitted in writing, and there were none. So the first item on our agenda this morning is to review the draft minutes of July 7, which was our last meeting. So I believe they've all been submitted to you. If everybody has a moment to review them, and at the appropriate time, if someone would make the appropriate motion, unless someone requests some change.
This is Kim Turner. I move approval.
Judge Harmon, second.
Any further discussion or issues regarding those minutes? Hearing none, all in favor of adopting the minutes of July 7, 2015?
Aye.
Any opposition? Those minutes are adopted. So we have one action item on our agenda today, and that relates to the 15-16 allocations from the State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund. And there is a report submitted below, and thank you, staff and all who put the report together. This relates to the ad hoc working group that has been working along with our tech folks, and we do have Renee and other folks from our technology judicial counsel staff on the line with us. So I don't know, Stephen or Kim, which one of you do you want to move forward with the item today?
Yes, I'll take a shot at it.
Stephen.
Okay, so first I wanted to just do a quick review of where we were back on July 7th. So the ad hoc working group, which had me, Kim Turner, Judge Harmon, David Yamasaki, Sean Landry, we had been charged with doing a deeper review, a more detailed review of projected expenditures and so forth, and the allocations related to Phoenix, the California Court Technology Center, and EPP. And based upon that work, some of the components of that led into our four recommendations that we presented on July 7th. In addition, there were other aspects that ultimately, I think, support and are folded into some of the work that Martin Hoshino is doing, at really doing a review of a lot of the processes related to administrative management of different aspects of technology and other things at the state level. The four specific recommendations that we had made, the first two related to reporting of encumbrances. And one of the things that we felt was really important was greater light being shed on the encumbrance process. And those two recommendations related to encumbrance reporting were approved by the committee on July 7th. The third recommendation related to initially our report was $5.337 million of one-time reductions that would be made to the allocations for these three projects. And those reductions are based on the notion that it was identifying funds that were planned for encumbrance in fiscal year 15-16, but not expenditure in 15-16. And given the fiscal situation facing our funds and the fact that there was really a shortage of funds, we did not believe that was a prudent course. And so we were recommending one-time reductions to provide sufficient funding in 15-16 for these projects, but then to free up the additional funds. The last recommendation, and I should say that recommendation ultimately was deferred based on our recommendation after the discussion on July 7th for a report back at today's meeting. And really the causes of that related to numbers that had not been completely tied down. After we had gotten numbers and put them in the report for the last meeting, we had two additional sets of updated numbers that were provided after subsequent to our report being written. And we were not able to confirm all of those numbers, and so that was one issue. In addition, subsequent to our report, concerns were raised about the ability of the Judicial Council's accounting staff were concerned about splitting encumbrances by fiscal year. And we believed that was a technical issue that could be worked out, but unfortunately they were not feeling comfortable at that point when we met on July 7th. And so based upon that, we ultimately recommended that we report back, and the committee approved that. Before I go into the report back, the last recommendation was then with the ability, having some freed up funds that would add to the available fund balance in the current fiscal year, then we were recommending that the Revenue and Expenditure Committee and the Budget Advisory Committee consider refunding, considering adding money back to some of the programs that were either reduced or canceled before we understood that there was additional funds available. So after our meeting on July 7th, we worked with staff both on the information services office as well as Zlatko and his finance staff. And really there was two areas of things that we were looking at. One was, as I said, really going back to the numbers, looking at the revised numbers, and we actually ended up with additional revised numbers because by the time that we were all going through these numbers, they were getting final end of year. So in some ways, these are better. One of the adjustments that you may remember that we had reported on, the first round of adjusted numbers that we'd been given related to increased reversions. And so that there was funds that were being reverted, particularly from 12-13 encumbrances that were available that had not been expended last fiscal year and therefore would revert to the fund and would be available. And we were reported on the first of those. But subsequent to that, and as you'll see in the numbers that Stephen Chang and his team have prepared, there's additional reversions and funds that are now available in the reserve. In addition, so then we looked at the updated encumbrance and expenditure need for 15-16, and if you turn to our report on page 5, you can see the specifics of those numbers. The first column in that table, the first column is the approved IMF 15-16 allocation. So this is what had been approved many months ago submitted to the council and approved by the council. So these were the initial allocations for Phoenix, CCTC, and the Enterprise Policy and Planning project for the current fiscal year, totaling $28.2 million. Then the numbers that we're reporting to you today, the revised reductions that we are recommending is available, are in your second column. And so you can see the adjustments to Phoenix, minus $375,000, California Quartz Technology Center, minus $1.9 million, EPP, minus $2.388 million. And then the third column will be the revised allocation that we're recommending. So we're, our recommendations would add $4.7 million to the reserve and funds that are available in the current fiscal year. The second component beyond the numbers, one of the areas that, well, one of the concerns that have been raised by the accounting staff, again, related to the ability of split funding contracts, and specifically there was concern about the Oracle contract, which is the lion's share of the enterprise policy and planning line item. And that's a, that was a minimum that has been reported to us. The vendor would not consider an annual maintenance contract that was less than 12 months, and so we couldn't reduce the contract. The contract had to be at least 12 months. One of the considerations that was raised back in July 7th, well, what about extending that contract next year, making it longer than 12 months, and then aligning those contracts on an annual basis with the annual fiscal year? So as reported to us, staff did contact a vendor and determined that, yes, that was a, that was an option, a viable option. Subsequent discussion, however, also it was determined that, yes, from an accounting standpoint, it would be appropriate to split fund. That's an alternative. And so if the ultimately, if the allocation was reduced by the numbers that we talked about, that was a doable thing from a technical standpoint. And so our staff and the ad hoc group, meeting with JC staff, ultimately it was determined that you have to make any changes, that we're not making any recommendation to change the contract. There's workload issues and other considerations that the JC staff have to take into consideration when figuring out what the appropriate term for those contracts are, and that doesn't need to be done through this process. So there was agreement on the numbers, and we're staying out of the issue of the term in our recommendation. So based upon those adjusted numbers, that $4.715 million identified above, you can see our revised recommendation, number three, below. So it's recommend that the Judicial Council modify its previously approved funding allocations for fiscal year 2015-2016 for Phoenix, CCTC, and EPP to reduce such allocations to reflect the actual cost to be incurred in 15-16 for each program, the reduction totaling $4.715 million. These cuts are recommended to be one-time allocation reductions to these programs. We offer, consistent with the recommendation in the report last time, we offer two alternatives. One would be not to do any of this, not to make any of these reductions, and we don't believe that that's the most prudent course. The reality of not, in particular in EPP, of allocating more money than is actually going to be expended in 15-16, while technically that's an appropriate, it's an appropriate thing to do, you know how much you're going to spend over for the full 12-month contract, you know exactly how much, and if you make that commitment, the difficulty is we have a fund that was projecting, and potentially next year again projecting, negative fund balances. We no longer have the luxury of locking up or tying up all those additional funds, so we believe that's not the appropriate course of action. The second alternative was really a hybrid, which says, well, what about leaving 1 month of funding that would provide for 1 month encumbered monies into the next fiscal year? And once again, not only do we have the fiscal situation, but we also believe that the need, in the past the practice has been to have contracts that really go substantially into the next fiscal year and then to fully encumber those monies. And when you had $70 million, when you had $80 million of reserves, that was seemingly an appropriate thing to do and a prudent thing to do. But in the current fiscal situation, well, let me add to that. It was a prudent thing to do and so forth, not only because there was really relatively large reserves, so encumbering those monies from a cash standpoint didn't have any impact on other programs. But second, there was a lot of uncertainty. So subsequent to the prior years, major changes at the state level, first in the Constitution related to there's been two different initiatives at the state level that help encourage and help assure on-time budgets, one being one of the initiatives that provided for reduced pay or elimination of pay for late budgets for staff and members in the legislature, and the second one being the elimination of the requirement of two-thirds majorities of approved budgets. And those changes have seemed to have a real positive impact on the timeliness of the state budget. But also, in addition, the political dynamics that seem to be in place right now in California, where we have one party that's pretty much dominating both the executive and the legislative branches of government, also ensuring that that budgets seem to be coming out more timely and there's less uncertainty. So for all of those reasons, we believe that our recommendation is the right course of action in the current environment. And so that's our report back on the additional numbers. Let me point one other thing before I finish my presentation. So then Stephen Chang added an attachment 1B, where you can see the fund condition. Now, this is an updated fund condition. If you remember back in July 7th, we were given a fund condition that at that point, let me see, I think it showed like $500,000 of surplus in the current fiscal year, so which, given the level of expenditures we have, is virtually nothing. So that put us in a very, very difficult position. This chart here has been updated to reflect, again, updated information from year-end closing, and there's even more reversions and unexpended funds that have been identified. And also this chart, so if you go to line 21 through 24, you can see the reductions that the funds that would be made available as a result of approving today's recommendation. So we've got on line 21, the ad hoc working group recommended adjustments, Phoenix program minus $375,000, CCTC minus $1.9 million, enterprise policy and planning minus $2.388 million. So those are the components that we just discussed. And look at the balance now, the impact of those changes, plus, again, the reversions and unexpended funds. Now look at the fund balance. Line 28, we're talking about $7.9 million. So that's some real money, considering that back last fall when we all gathered, we were looking at a minus $11.5 million that had to be cut, and we made those reductions. So that's the context that I wanted to present to you and the report back. Any questions?
Well done, Stephen.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. I think that, you and Kim and others, Dodie and Judge Harmon and others have really spent a lot of time, and not only your own time, but also working with staff, and I appreciate the effort that staff has gone through, particularly Renee and others on the technology side, to go through this exercise that we haven't had the opportunity to do before. So, Sherry, do you or Kim, Either one of you have any comments, questions, or thoughts?
This is Sherry. I echo your thanks to the group for digging into the numbers. And if the Judicial Council staff concurs with the numbers, then and with the policy change in encumbrances, I have no objection and would support the recommendation.
And this is Kim Turner. I just wanted to say that Stephen's report was very complete, and he and I spent a lot of time reviewing, analyzing, digging into the numbers, and I'm very, very comfortable and confident that the report reflects what we found. I also want to just say a word of thanks to the JC staff who really, I mean, worked with us to ensure that we got good, reliable, verifiable data. I know it was a burden, and we just appreciate their assistance.
So this is Winnie Smith. I'm prepared then. It looks like there's some consensus here to recommend or at least move that we adopt the revised recommendation following the report. And I too appreciate all the information because I'm terrible with numbers, but Stephen, the way you presented it, it's crystal clear.
This is Judge Johnson. I second it. So Judge Smith made the motion. Judge Johnson seconded. Any further discussion regarding the item?
This is Rebecca. I have one question for Stephen, and this is more probably a technical question, but I note that the recommended the allocation adjustment is a one-time allocation adjustment, but is the encumbrance method an ongoing change?
It would have to be because the one-time infusion in cash is from loosening the encumbered amount into the next fiscal year, so then the next year would cover if they don't change the terms of the contract. But if the AOC doesn't object to that policy change, I have no objection.
Great. No, I just wanted to clarify that because that's what I was reading it as. I just wanted to make sure. Thank you.
So this is Stephen, and I'll defer to Kurt and Vlatko, but I want to agree with what Sherry said. What we ultimately left open was the Judicial Council staff are going to work with vendors and make the decision on what's the best term, the starting and the ending. They have not ruled out or ruled in changing the terms, but short of that, then that would be the case.
Yeah, I would just say that go ahead, Kurt.
Yeah, the discussions that we had, if I'm understanding the issues or discussions correctly, is the fact that this would be a one-time adjustment.
And only for this contract.
Right.
And only for this contract. So it's not an overall policy change. It's a change for this contract for the purposes of scoring this one-time money.
Thank you for that clarification.
So any additional comment, question, concern, idea? Not hearing any. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries. Go ahead,
Judge Lau. This is Stephen. I just wanted to concur with comments that you made and Kim Turner that I was very pleased, and we were asking some tough questions and went through quite a process, but at the end, the flexibility of Kurt and Vlatko and the IS team and others to kind of look at this from a different perspective, I think ultimately was very helpful.
Yeah, I think so too, and thank you for commenting on that. You know, I think we've made a lot of progress over the last several years, and I think this is just one small step and evidence of progress across the board and of inclusion of the trial courts across the board on these important issues that impact the trial courts so importantly. And I think it's a demonstration of leadership from the very top through the chief, through Martin, through Zlatko and others, and also through your leadership, Kim and Stephen and Sherry and others who have been so intimately involved in this process. So with that, do we have any other items of business on this call today?
Before we finish, Judge Law, this is Stephen. For roll taking purposes, if I can just do a final count. I think there's two people that were missing at the beginning of the call. I think at least one person joined us.
Okay.
This is Judge Lee. This is Judge Lee. I'm on the call.
Great. And Judge Smith, you're on the call too, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's it, Judge Law.
Thank you, Stephen.
And Kim Fleming, she wasn't in the original call either.
Ah, good. All right, well, we will head on down the path of the rest of our day, and unless you're on the coast side, stay cool.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.